John Gambling with special co-host Mayor Michael Bloomberg on News Talk Radio 710 WOR. Now, here are John Gambling and Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
Hello, everybody. Good morning. Welcome aboard. Mayor Michael Bloomberg is here this morning in studio for 8 minutes after 8 o'clock. Lots to talk about, but first, good morning, sir.
If you are worried about it, I have to tell you this. The record for precipitation is 40 days and 40 nights, so this rain will stop.
Yes, indeed, but I just before 8 o'clock read a note that the Parks Department, Adrian Benepe, has canceled the Prospect Park Winter Jam. No snow.
Because I wanted to make sure the streets are free of snow, and I didn't want anybody to...
You couldn't have it both ways, right?
We are having it both ways. Our streets aren't getting torn up by the plows. We aren't spending any money. We've maintained our salt supply. Nobody's been inconvenienced. Come on. You know. And I've always said, isn't it wonderful? The job of the fire department, the police department, is to prevent fires and crimes. Now, if they have to respond, we want them trained. But if the first preventers, well, the same thing with snow.
There you go. You pulled it off again, didn't
I
you?
I knew you'd like this.
Also on sort of the smile train here, yesterday you were with the Gossip Girls over at Silver Cup.
Gossip Girl is the name of the show.
As you can tell, I haven't seen the show before.
I admit
it's probably one of your favorites.
Well, it's a teen thing, and I'm a little bit beyond that. I think a few years ago there were 9 TV shows here. This year there's 23 TV shows. We are becoming the capital. We have every reason to boast. This is an enormous boon to our economy, partially because it creates jobs. And if you look at a sitcom employs 200 people on average. I mean, it's really quite... You think it's just a few stars. No.
Especially even these reality shows, which you wouldn't even think are...
But it's... Who gets the money, whether you, when you make a movie or you make a TV show? It's not the stars. They get very well paid. But most of the budget goes to the local dry cleaner and car service and restaurant and the carpenters and the electricians and the grips and all of that kind of stuff. And so it filters through the economy. But it does something else. When the venue is New York, and it's easier to have the venue in New York when if you're filming it here, that tells people around the world. It just reminds them in the back of their, hey, New York's exciting, New York's fun, New York's this, New York's that.
Well, it's like Law and Order, which has run literally forever and still does, even though it's not in production any longer, New York was the centerpiece.
Somebody criticized the salaries for the people in New York City, NYC and company, which are, by industry standards in the advertising business, very, very low. I thought it could not be worse placed or misinformed. That agency, Film, Theater, and Television, Kathy Oliver, all of these different agencies. There was this week, we become the model for a lot of things around the country. Construction accidents. Permits are way up. Construction accidents are way down, and it's a safer industry to work in. With all the building, fewer people are dying. The practices that we have, if you look at these big buildings, you'll see these cocoons now that go up as the building goes up.
That's to keep
things from falling out, and that used to happen all the time.
The sheds that go over the streets, a relatively new addition.
I mean, all of this stuff. And we become the model, and people around the country, around the world talk about it, and they're just every one of these things helped build. And we had to revise our numbers for 2011 in terms of number of tourists. We thought we had 50.2. It turns out we have 50.5 million people coming here. And, you know, this is what we've got to keep going. People have got to know that crime is down and life expectancy is up and things are affordable and it's easy to get around. And there was this, nasty isn't quite the right word, but a misinformed article in one of the magazines that talked about everybody being rude. When I talk to people that come here, they say exactly the reverse. They're always shocked as to how nice New Yorkers are. They'll stop. And never forget this. Two different people said to me this over the last few years. You know, I was standing on a street corner with my map, and somebody came up in uniform and said, excuse me, I'm from the NYPD. Can I help you? And they both come from cities overseas. Nice cities, big cities. They said, you know, the police would never do that where I come from. They just, here, police are friends. They're There's something different.
Hey, we're New Yorkers. That's what it's all about, right?
And they all listen to John Gambling in the morning.
Absolutely. A good portion of them do.
Because they think it's your father or grandfather.
Oh, thanks a lot. Nice, that was nice of you to say here. All right. I can parry back on this one as well. Where do I want to start here? Because I'm going to have to take a break here. Let me ask you about the ad campaign that we'll get into the other stuff, the Kelly stuff and stuff. But the UFT $1 million-plus campaign just ripping at you. I mean,
I didn't see it.
Yes, you did.
Scott is my witness. Well, I don't watch a lot of television, so it's easy
that you didn't see it.
Well, it happens also, okay. As Henry would say, has the added advantage of being true. I have not seen it.
Yeah, okay. You're aware of it, and
look, if they want to waste the money of their members, it isn't going to change anything. We are going to fix this problem that we have where some of the teachers need remedial help and they don't get it, and some just even with remedial help aren't effective and they shouldn't be in the classroom. And the governor, Governor Cuomo, has come out, couldn't be more strong. And I think every newspaper, there's this big study which the Times had a big article on that says if you have an effective teacher, you change that child's life, not just while they're in school, but for the rest of their lives. And we cannot wait anymore. And this process of you can have an evaluation, number one, it's pass-fail. Our students don't have pass-fail, and life isn't pass-fail. Only here do we think pass-fail is fine. And if you fail, there's so many gotchas and so many ways to slow things down. And the Post has been running this series.
Yeah, did you see that story today?
Yeah, they had one yesterday, same thing. But it's basically all true. You talk to principals, they say, I'm just not going to go through it. Tell me I should remove the teacher. I've got to run a school. I've got lots of good teachers to work with. I can't spend my entire life running down to testify and every single thing. Well, you filed the grievance on the wrong size paper. Well, how do you know that the child isn't doing well? Well, the test scores say, oh, you're relying on test scores rather than evaluations. Look, our kids, I love this stuff about there's too many tests. Our kids have big tests, high-stakes tests. Teenager, this day and age, which group of friends do you hang around with, a bad gang or a good group of people? What do you do about premarital sex? You have to make it. Teenagers have to face this. Whatever you think is right
and
or wrong.
And that is a test in the sense that you were talking about.
It's a test. Going to school, just studying, deciding you got to give up some playtime and really work, that you're in charge of your... These kids are facing tests all the time, and they're high-stake tests, which if they make a bad decision, it can influence their lives. And, in the private sector, your boss decides whether you are good or bad, and if your boss thinks that you're not the right person for the job, he replaces you. Now, in the case of John Gambling, there are ratings, so there are some numbers, mm-hmm. but it's also subjective. Your boss has got to decide, do you fit in with the other people? Are you disruptive, or you bring people together? The kind of audience you have, is it the kind of audience you want to sell the kind of advertising you do and the station's image? And a lot of it's subjective. And virtually everybody lives in a world where their boss makes a subjective judgment. That is an anathema in this process. Oh, it can't be subjective. Well, you can't prove that a teacher is not effective, but it's like the Supreme Court, I forget which justice said it. He said, I can't define pornography, but I know it when I see it. Well, the same thing. A good manager knows who's effective and who isn't. A good manager will, if you have somebody who's not effective, give them some remedial help because you have a big investment in your employees already. But if the person after that or doesn't want to take it or doesn't help, you got to move it out. And we're going to the governor is there. We're not going to walk away from this one. And the other thing is, this process of a couple of years. I love this. Well, we should now put in a process where it'll take 2 years. Number one, that's designed to outlive the administration. Let's get serious here about what they think is going to come after this. They think that there'll be a lot more, lot less pressure on improving the schools in the future, although they certainly wouldn't say that. But it's to let the kids go for another 2 years when you know...
It's criminal.
Well, we have
criminal.
The state, not us, state of New York, Board of Regents says, here's 54 schools, they're not performing, you've got to do something about them. We phased out, which means really just terminated them, 21 schools. That leaves you with 33. There are a few different things we can do. What we are going to do is all 33 of those schools, we are going to go in and replace, at the principal's discretion, as the teachers that they think aren't effective, rename the schools. There's some a process you've got to go through. But we're going to do it right now. And we can do that in other schools as well. And to say, well, let's do a process that will take 2 years, we cannot, in good conscience, sit here and let the kids in those 33 schools that the state thought were terrible go another 2 years without help? Why, this is craziness.
No, you cast adrift. How many countless tens of thousands
John,
of students when you do that?
That story in the New York Times about Apple told you everything you need to know. And there's a story in the Atlantic Monthly you should read this month about a woman without an education but is apparently a very good worker, hard worker, and how she's been able to build a career, single mom, and a guy who came from a supportive family she didn't have the luxury of, and he's got a lot of technological backgrounds. He makes double what she does. His job is only going to become more valuable. The issue is, will her job get automated out of existence? You're starting to see the real world of we've been talking about the value of education, now it's kicking in. And I was in the President Bloomberg View had an editorial today about the president in the State of the State of the Union speech. I think should have focused more on the real world is education. And let's not go bash China and try to have a trade war. That's not going to help us at all. That market's going to be bigger than our market. We need to sell stuff to China. We don't need a trade war with China. They've been selling stuff to us. It's about to turn. We've got to improve education and face the fact that we are living in a global world and we've got to compete. And we can do it. America's doing a phenomenal. The production in America is going up. Manufacturing jobs, manufacturing is here. We're having as good manufacturing as ever had, but it's done with fewer people. And that's going to continue. And so we have to, and the people there are going to have greater skills.
All right, Mr. Mayor, sit tight. Lots to talk about this morning. And we want to talk with you. If you've got a question for Michael Bloomberg, 800-321-0710. Now's the time to get in the queue, get in line so that at the end of the program, we'll talk with you. 800-321-0710. Coming right back.
John Gambling and Mayor Mike on News Talk Radio 710 WOR. Mayor Michael Bloomberg with John Gambling on News Talk Radio 710 WOR.
26 minutes after 8 o'clock, Michael Bloomberg is here on the Friday John Gambling Show. Your police commissioner's got himself a couple of issues going. Unfortunately, his son, that situation with Greg.
Well, I thought the police commissioner and the police department did exactly the right thing. There's too much of an appearance of conflict when there's an allegation against the commissioner's son, and they turned it over to the Manhattan District Attorney, who was very competent and will do a thorough investigation. Anybody that has a complaint deserves to have their complaint or has a right to have their complaint evaluated fully. And it's also true that nobody's charged Greg Kelly with anything. So, I'll let the district attorney handle it. But
the district attorney, no matter what the outcome here, probably finds himself in, the crosshairs.
Look, Cy Vance is a tough, smart guy. He's the district attorney of Manhattan, which maybe is the most visible district attorney job in the country. There's always going to be high-profile, complicated cases. There's always going to be second-guessing. He's tough enough to focus on the job. I'm not worried about Cy Vance.
All right, the question of this movie that was used in the police department with Jihad and the police commissioner as well. We were talking about it here this morning. I understand the sensitivity that goes along with any and all of this discussion, but does it make your job as the guy who's running the ship here, when it comes to protecting New Yorkers, more difficult to kind of take into account all of the political correctness or anything else you want to label?
You know, the answer really is no. You don't have to trample on people's rights to aggressively protect the city from street crime or from terrorism. And in fact, if you take a look at this video, which I've not seen, but Kelly was interviewed for, I think they said 90 minutes a long time ago. They used 15 seconds, and he didn't say anything that you would not expect Ray to say. Ray is a guy who has diversified our police department. He is very sensitive to all the communities. Ray Kelly's probably visited more mosques than most Muslims. He reaches out. We have a lot of Muslims in our police department. We have events at One Police Plaza on the religious holidays for every religion to engage the communities and the religious leaders in protection. Because, you know, during religious holidays, if you ever were going to have an attack, that's or somebody doing something that's disgraceful or whatever, that's when you more likely then. And so whether it's for Rosh Hashanah or Easter or Ramadan, we do all of those. The film was obviously, I think goes without saying, not appropriate. I don't think most of the cops stood there. They were being processed, and it was just running on a loop. I assume most of them didn't stop and listen, watch it carefully.
Well, this was not used as a training film or anything like that.
No, nothing like that. It wasn't even done. It wasn't even shown at the police academy, and it was inappropriate. And Ray stood up and said, "Look, I apologize. We didn't mean to insult anybody." And I think everybody knows this police department, and particularly Ray Kelly, is sensitive. But not just sensitive, he believes that everybody has a right to their religion and we shouldn't discriminate. Now, when it comes, your question is, does it make it harder to be politically correct and not violate people's rights, which is more important, perhaps, because that's the law. And still do the inadequate or the kind of job we need is a better word to protect us. I think no. You learn how to do things consistent with the law and consistent with protecting people's rights. That's what America is all about. We have always believed in this country better to let a number of people beat the rap than to, if you pardon the colloquial, than to convict one person erroneously. I've always been in favor of more DNA because it probably keeps more people who are innocent from being convicted than it violates anybody's right to privacy. You know, DNA is like fingerprints. We do a lot of it, and that's just the real world we live in. You know, you would expect us to look every place for people who might want to hurt others in this city, regardless of their religion, regardless of their neighborhood. And yeah, our police department is well-versed in how to do it. Now, you know, you have 35,000 cops in the street. You have 55,000 people who work for the police department. I can't tell you that everybody makes the right decision every time, or even that everybody's a good guy. There's always somebody. You know, you read in the paper about a cop that went off the deep end and did something criminal or stupid or that sort of thing. That's always going to be the world. I think Ed Koch said it better, best. He said, you know, the police department's the size of the average town in America. Show me a town where there isn't one bad apple. And, of course, there you can't find that. But in the context you ask, there's a reason why our police department's called the finest. They are the most diverse. They do the best job. They are sensitive. You know, I'll never forget going to an Orthodox Jewish dinner in Williamsburg or someplace. And the Rebbe was at one end of the table and all of the community. And there, men and women do social events separately, so it was all men. And at the far end of the table, I was sitting next to the Rebbe at one end in the place of honor. The far end in the other place of honor was the local Irish Catholic precinct commander. And, you know, I thought to myself, what a wonderful city and what a wonderful police department, that the respect that the Rebbe had for the police officer and the understanding that the police officer had of the community was really something that I don't know if it's unique in the world, but it's certainly something we should be proud of. And I think Ray Kelly actually was a precinct commander in one of the Orthodox communities. You can't have every time you see a police officer on the street be somebody from your background, educational level, economic level, ethnicity, religion, whatever, gender, orientation. But there's enough diversity in the police department that you know that department does understand you and you can have confidence in them. Every time the right decision? Of course not. But in this case, you know, they shouldn't have showed the film is the bottom line. Ray didn't, it was Ray just, after a 90-minute interview a long time ago, they just clipped it and put it in. And as soon as he found out about it, he did what he was supposed to do.
Yanked it.
Yeah, come on. Now let's get on with it.
All right, we're going to get on with this as well, Mr. Mayor. 26 before 9 o'clock in the morning. Again, let me remind you, a couple of slots open here on the call-in lines, 800-321-0710, if you've got a question for Mayor Michael Bloomberg. 800-321-0710, Joe Bartlett.
John Gambling and Mayor Mike, News Talk Radio 710 WOR.
Before 9 o'clock in the morning here on the John Gambling Show with Mayor Michael Bloomberg, the Friday edition. You were at the Council of Mayors last Friday when we spoke, or you were headed there. What's the one item they were talking about?
The one thing I talked about was education.
Okay.
Education reform.
Is that really what all of them were kind of focused on?
Well, a lot of mayors don't have control of the school systems. They tend to be, a lot of school systems report to the state legislature where there's less accountability and it's diffused in terms of who's supervising and setting rules and that sort of thing. But the mayors that do control school systems are all up against it because our kids are getting out of school without the education they need, or some of them are. And also the other big thing was pension benefits. And these are two things
you were up in
Governor
Albany
Cuomo,
doing the same thing.
Cuomo's come out and said he understands it. New York City's pension costs were $1.5 billion when I came into office. Today they're $8.5 billion, $7 billion more annually of the taxpayers' money.
But as we've always talked about, you can't do anything about that.
Well, the state constitution says, and I'm not so sure I disagree with it even in saying, the state constitution says, oh, that's not true. State constitution says if the state legislature grants a benefit, even they can't take it away. I think, forget about that, I think we have an obligation, you can make the case, that if somebody took a job with benefits that were promised, we should live up to that. But we can't continue to give those benefits to future hires. And so what the governor is talking about is getting the legislature to allow the city to have a tier 5 and the state to have a tier 6. Tier is the next group of people would have different rules, different benefits. And then people say, some of the unions say, oh, we don't want two people working side by side with different benefits. Time out. If it's 5 and 6, there's got to be 4 and 5 different levels already there. What are you talking about? I mean, to just say these things and nobody, the press doesn't stop and say, what are you saying? Think about it, you know. Whatever.
So is the sense in Albany that there'll be progress along these lines?
The governor is a very tough, very smart guy. He's committed to fighting this battle. I'm going to be there in his corner doing everything I can. And the city can do some of these things ourselves. When it comes to education, we've got this provision in the union contract that lets us right away, through a process, upgrade or get or move out of, not get them out of the school system, but get them out of the classroom, teachers that are ineffective in schools that are not doing well.
We're not going to go back to the rubber room thing.
No, but we have a lot of teachers, and that's what the Post has been really talking about. There are a lot of teachers who are no longer in the classroom, but the process to get them out of the school system is years. In the case of the rubber rooms, that was for people who were pushed out or taken out of the classroom because of they've committed a crime or allegedly committed a crime, and in some cases they didn't, and they have to have their day in court, or were ineffective or whatever. The process to move teachers that we're talking about here is you're really doing what you call accessing them. They're no longer, that school closes, so the teachers go into a pool. What do? They still work. We try to use them to be substitute teachers around. In the case of the teachers who were in the rubber rooms, we moved them out of the rubber rooms and assigned them to schools to work in offices and that sort of thing. Now, somebody would say, you were better off with them in the rubber room rather than spreading them around the system, but that's the headlines, and that's neither here nor there. What we're talking about is moving teachers out of the classroom that aren't doing the job, and a separate issue which should be faced but is a lot less important is moving them out of the system. If what we did was waste our money paying some teachers, that's bad. But what's much worse is having bad teachers in the classroom. And you got to step back here, John, as well. Most of our teachers are phenomenal. You just got to look at the results. New York City schools really are doing phenomenally well, and most teachers are in the phenomenal category.
Yeah, it's the bottom part.
There's always going to be a bottom part.
Always.
And, you know, that's what the battle is over. How you prove that they're in the bottom part and the process. And in the end, you can't sign on, the governor can't do it and the mayor can't do it, signing on to an agreement that sounds good in theory, but in practice doesn't let you do anything. If it takes you years to evaluate, no, can't leave kids for the next 2 years in bad schools. If when they're evaluated, the principal has to spend half their time defending the evaluation, no, that's just a waste to have a law but not make sure it's not effective. Congress did that when you go back, I've said this 1,000 times, with immigration. They had this tough law in 86, we're not going to let undocumented into this country.
Nobody did anything.
And then, well, no, they just didn't fund any of the enforcement stuff. So they could say to the employers, oh yeah, don't worry about it. And they say the tough people that want to, anti-immigrant, yeah, see, we're tough. And you can't do that. These are our kids.
This week, the deputy governor was with the folks out on Long Island from Suffolk and Nassau.
Lieutenant governor.
Lieutenant governor.
He's a good guy.
Yeah,
came from Rochester.
Also in Westchester as well, talking about mandates and relieving some of the counties of their mandates from the state. Have they had discussions?
All of our pension benefits, well, almost all of them are mandates. They're unfunded. We have to pay for them.
But you have Medicaid as well.
Yeah, Medicaid. There's some things the state can do. In all fairness, in Medicaid, there's a lot of federal requirements of what you can do. But the state has all sorts of laws. Every time the state passes a bill saying we're going to have another inspection or another this or another that, and you have to do it, they never provide the money to do it. So you have to have people with special needs have to have these services. I'm 100% in favor of it. But they're mandating it, and most localities don't have the wherewithal to do it.
With the tax cap.
Come back to the teachers. One of the things that the union wants is a local test. The statewide tests that they're going to be graded on and local tests. Now, why do they want local tests? Because most of these small towns and school systems throughout the state don't have the money to create or the ability to create local tests. So it's, and then every one of those local tests is going to be argued in court as to whether that's fair or not. It's a ways to pass a law and make sure that it never happens. That's just another, what you'd call in business, a poison pill. And you just got to read every single thing and just step back and say, what's the practicality of that? And that's what's frustrating, I assume, for everybody in office. The press talks about, they don't stop and say, now, how would this really work? Can you imagine that process? What's the conversation of two people across the desk? Or how would you create a test? Or with the what are the challenges to the test that could be mounted that will invariably delay things? But we have this enormous group of phenomenally good teachers, and there's a handful of teachers that just unfortunately aren't there. And most of the good teachers, when you talk to them, they would love to see performance pay. We have a program, if we have to get the union degree, $20,000 increase in salary if you're in the top X percent 2 years in a row. Teachers want to compete
Are you
for
kidding?
That.
Yeah, absolutely.
Union says no.
All right. Well, we've talked a lot about the teachers in this morning. What is the status of the conversation between the UFT and the city on evaluation? Those broke off Are they back together?
Well, they never really broke off. Both sides agreed. We had 2 days to go to a holiday weekend. We're not going to get anything done. Let's go home. Okay, come on. That's not somebody walking out.
Did they come back?
Of course. I mean, we talk. You know, just keep in mind, the UFT is a big union, and the city has lots of its members as employees, and so we talk all the time. And yes, we've been talking. Progress or no progress? You know, that's not the way things work. They either come together at the end or they don't, but they never come together until the end, and you never know really where you stand. And I think, in all fairness, the head of the teachers' union, Michael Mulgrew, would like to have a deal. He represents his members. His job is to get the best deal he can for his members and protect all his members. My job is to get the best school system we can for our kids. This school system is going to be run for the kids. And we'll do it with the union, and invariably we'll work together and we'll come up with something. And, you know, I think he's a good labor leader and understands the issues. And, you know, the ads, I think that's just, I don't know why the members want him to go and waste all that money. I literally haven't seen it. But they did the same thing, a year ago?
Yeah. But
I probably had the same ad.
Million, maybe it is. I don't know. Millions of dollars. 10 minutes before 9 o'clock, we've got a bunch of folks that's got some questions for you that have some questions for you, Mr. Mayor. Stick around right to the telephones when we get back.
Mayor Michael Bloomberg on the John Gambling Show. News Talk Radio 710 WOR.
All right, Mr. Mayor, 6 minutes before 9 o'clock. Let's go to the telephones here. Going to start with number five. That's Mike out in Long Island. Michael, you've got the mayor. Go ahead.
This Mike?
Hi. Yes.
Hi. How you doing, gentlemen?
Good.
Ms. Mayor Bloomberg, I was hearing you talking about with the excess teachers. A friend of mine is an excess teacher for 12 years, and time again spent money on their own classroom. Is there any type of state funding that's going to go in to save these teachers? Because 12 years on the job and all the state funding that's being taken away is hurting.
Well, you know, I don't know whether you're talking about Long Island school systems or New York, but everybody got cut back last year when the state budget was in real trouble. New York City lost $850 million of state aid and $850 million of federal stimulus money that was being used for education. Fortunately, we had saved some money over the previous 6 years, and we put $2 billion in to cover that, something that we cannot continue to do. We just don't have those kinds of resources. Now, the governor has promised to increase education aid for everybody this year. It's certainly not back to what it was. I don't know the case of your friend. If your friend was excessed, which means the school really got closed down, they have to look around for other school systems, other schools, at least in New York City. I don't know how it works on Long Island, and convince other principals to take them up. If they can't, then they're basically being used as substitutes. But a lot of these teachers do find plenty of other schools, and turns out to be great for everybody. Just because when a school gets closed down, that doesn't mean all the teachers are bad. And so some of the principals really think there's a great opportunity to get new members for their staff from this pool. If the person has been accessed for a very long time, that has nothing to do with state funding. That has to do with they can't seem to find a job, and the city will go through the process eventually of trying to stop paying for something that we just aren't getting any services for. But in Long Island, there's an enormous number of small school districts. I think somebody said between Nassau and Suffolk County, there's something like 150 schools chancellors, all of whom make close to double what the New York City school chancellor makes. New York City school chancellor makes $250,000 or something like that, down from $350,000, maybe it's $220,000, I think. And on Long Island, there are lots of, I'm told, that make $300,000 or $400,000.
Some that make five.
Do they really?
Yeah, absolutely. 3 minutes before 9 o'clock. Thank you, Mike. Another question right here about this teachers in schools. Sonny on the South Shore. Hi, Sonny.
Hey, excuse me, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm thrilled to be able to speak to Mayor Mike. I'm a retired teacher, and I worked extremely hard, and I was very proud of my career. But as everybody knows, and I'll tell you something, the students and the parents and the teachers all know who the good teachers are. If you want to know who's doing the job, ask the kids. And sometimes that's as important as an evaluation of score, because as we know, not everybody gets the same support from their parents to help them. The environment affects them. I have a suggestion that I think a lot more mentoring ought to go on within school districts and departments so that a weak teacher can gain strength. And I also don't believe in the tenure law at all, because I don't know any other career where you can just stay there 3 years and then you're guaranteed for life.
We've changed the tenure thing here. It used to be 97%, 98% got tenure automatically. This past year, I think it was 57% that got tenure. The other 43% can try again next year. Tenure was a concept that came out of sort of the McCarthy days so that college professors could write stuff that the government didn't like and wouldn't be thrown out of their jobs. Somehow or other, tenure became a concept for public school teachers in the lower in K to through 12, where it was all of a sudden they didn't have those issues of freedom of speech. They just, it became a jobs thing. But Sonny, asking that, I'm sure the kids do know. Unfortunately, you can't how the kid in before a board to explain why the teacher was good or bad.
You got any tweets there?
Yeah, there's one here. Why not have a ticker tape parade for veterans when they come back? From the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Dempsey, and Army Secretary McHugh, and Army Chief of Staff General Odierno made it clear, and we've talked to them, they do not think a parade is appropriate now. They think a parade would be premature while we still have so many troops in harm's way around the world. And their wise counsel on the safety of our brave men overseas dictates that. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to follow them. We honor them. The returning soldiers, we care. We want to say thank you. But we don't want to jeopardize those overseas. And we'll follow the Joint Chiefs of Staff's recommendation.
All right, Mr. Mayor, that's going to do it. As you can tell, the music behind this means it's time for traveling music, so to speak. We will see you next Friday.
Looking forward to it.
All right. Thank you very much. Still lots to go here. We're going to talk more about the Greg Kelly situation. My buddy Ron Kuby from the legal aspects and point of view, he'll be joining me and talk about the energy policy that the president claims he has.